Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
And thank you very much to Lisa and Lonster from the Hang Ten Guys. This is the Cubby House on Joy 94.9.
We're live, baby, and you know how we're live? Motherfucking turbo bitch. There we go.
Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm the voice of sanity this evening.
Yes, well, I'm Cookie, and over that person who delights in this profanatizing, he's Jack. And
Hi there.
Jack, I'm bringing a ball gag to work from now on. You know that, right?
You work at a call center, don't you? Why would you have a balls gag at a call center?
It's a very fun call center.
Well, thank you for introducing the topic, Kevin, because we are talking about, of all things, love and war today.
Making love and war.
Well, you know the old slogan, making love and war. And when we tend to think of this, we always think of them as opposites. However, where there is love, there is conflict. And in conflict and the context of conflict, we find solidarity and brotherhood. On tonight's show, we're presenting two stories about how love and war aren't all that different after all.
First off, we have Mickey Hollander, an ex-US veteran who, while fighting in the sands of Saudi Arabia, fought an inner war within himself. We call this story, The War Inside Mickey Hollander. We're good with names.
Yes, well, I've also got a story of Rusty and David, a couple brought together from the opposite sides of the world through the online game of World of Warcraft. And we're going to call that one Make Love, not Warcraft.
We also have a musical guest, Eric Kuhlman, who brings his guitar into the studio to jam with us and is our Listener of the Week.
He's from Armpit Stench, the Bear Band, so this dude is going to get very stinky. This is our Making Love and War episode for the next hour on the Cubby House Live.
Now, our SMS topic of the week. Kevin, you've come up with this one this week.
I have. It's quite a good one, actually. What is the best makeup or breakup present you've ever received?
Have you ever received a makeup or breakup present, Kevin?
Oh, I've received a very good one. One that's so good I can't even discuss it on the radio.
We are talking about making love and war tonight on
the
show.
They're not different things. Sometimes they're the same thing. Love and conflict. They just go together like a horse and carriage. Okay. I apologize to the person that originally wrote that song. It was
yes. I'm not going to even start singing. We do have a few recorded interviews that we've done over the week in preparation for this topic. The first one was
Mickey Hollander. He actually works with me in an office, and this is about sharing stories from people that are all around us, but we don't necessarily know. So, Mickey Hollander, ex-US veteran in the Gulf War. This is a conversation I had with him last Friday. Just snippets of that conversation. The whole thing should be available on our website.
I believe my sister went into the reserves. And she got all this attention, and it was like, oh my God, she went in the reserves, and she went away for 6 weeks, and she came back, and it was done. And I thought, I'm going to do the same thing. So I signed up, and they said, U.S. Army, and I said, yep. And then they said, well, no, you didn't sign up for the reserves, you signed it up, you done signed up for the real thing, boy. And I went, yeah, I meant to do that. So at 17, I was a bit pigheaded and wouldn't admit my mistake and just went, yeah, I meant to do that. And I got all this wonderful attention and I thought, yeah, I'm going to the army. Of course, I was 17 and didn't realize that. It wasn't my intention to sign up full-time army. I meant to do reserves, but I wasn't going to admit that at that time. So I just figured, okay, this is sort of like a little adventure. I was a good Catholic boy, Jack, okay? Like 17, my experiences were very, very few. It wasn't like I think I was afraid of sexuality at that time because I wasn't just pumping out the pussy, as they say. And, you know, I was getting a few looks. I tried to be the big and bad boy from the bush or, you know, the country boy, but that shoe didn't fit. And I knew that there was something going on. I've never dealt well with reality. I hadn't even worked out religion yet. Besides, I knew what they were pumping out to me kind of sounded like bullshit. And I didn't know how to tell my parents that. So I was listening to that going on, and something wasn't gelling. And then this puberty thing, and something wasn't gelling. And then I realized that it doesn't gel on a couple things, and so I joined the military because I'm thinking, I don't have to deal with this, and I'm in the military with all these guys, and so I will assimilate, and I will come out a man. The drill instructors really saw that I was just this impressionable young kid who would do anything that you told me to do. It might take me a little while, but I'm happy to do 50 push-ups while I figure it out, 75, because I'm making mistakes, and in my head, I'm going, well, I'm in the military. I guess this is what you do. It's like free bodybuilding. I'm gonna be that man. So bring it on, I guess. And I kept smiling through the whole thing, and they're like, quit smiling, do more push-ups until you can't smile anymore, and you can do as many push-ups as you want, and it doesn't affect your facial muscles. So they didn't get it, but anyway, I spent a lot of time on the floor, at people's knees and at people's feet, and I didn't realize that that was going to foretell into my future, that I would be, you know, at people's knees and feet when I grew up to be that man. But that's just, you know, that's just foreshadowing at its best. And now I'm with all these rough-and-tumble army people, and I just happened to be next door to somebody, and this guy walked in from next door to borrow a frying pan. And I was like, wow, I wonder if I could try that with him. And I thought, oh, you can't be thinking those thoughts, you're in the military, blah, 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 blah. Little did I know that this man was in the same unit I was, in the mechanic section, and he thought the same thing when he saw me. He's 10 years older, he's, you know, I'm like, oh, nobody knows anything, but we started to make really weird excuses to see each other, like, I need another frying pan. And he'd come next door and see me when I was visiting my friend, because she lived outside of the barracks. And all of a sudden, we would talk. There was something that I didn't know was like a gay vibe happening. We form a very intimate relationship, unbeknownst to anybody, because this guy is married with 3 children. Right there, another thing didn't make sense to me, that, wait a minute, this guy's married, but this is happening. This is like, I'm getting excited by this, and so is he. And it goes on for a long time, okay? Like a year and a half. He gets orders to go to another base. I then get orders to go to that same base. Like, what are the odds? So I'm thinking, how can you expect me not to sleep with him again? You know, I thought we had already said our goodbyes and it was over, but it wasn't. And he goes, hey, look, you know, we've got to be careful, because he was assigned then and went to training to become an officer. So now there's fraternization involved. I'm enlisted, he's an officer, that's a big no-no anyway. You know, in my head, I'm like, well, it's a big no-no. You're also married. Did you forget that? So, you know, here we are back at it again. And then Desert Shield happens. And there was just all this things happening. And I was falling in love with this man, the only person that I could confess all of this stuff to. And we had amazing times and we had amazing experiences. It was a very young love, I think, for both of us, because we find out later that we're both each other's first. Yeah, it was a time that you are innocent and you fall in love, and it's a big fall, but you enjoy that experience and you just feel like you're an amazing person because you are connected on so many levels, and I'm so glad for that experience. It's moments that I have searched sometimes a long time, and I don't see that in relationships that I've been in. And there's a sadness, or there's a melancholy feel of, will it ever be as intense and will it ever be as fulfilling as what it was with him and I?
Hey! Hey, welcome to the Cubby House Live. You're listening to the Making Love and War episode. You've been listening to the story, The War Inside Mickey Hollander by Jack Chapman. So let's return to that right now. This is the Cubby House on Joy 94.9.
Like, I had to come out to one person when the man I was in love with just completely stopped and said, oh, look, I'm not gay, by the way, I've never loved you. I completely had everything stopped for me at that moment. There was a dark moment there. I had to tell somebody. I just remember my mother always going, well, you can tell the church anything. So I went to the chaplain in the military that next morning after sitting in a park and contemplating how to kill yourself. And I thought, wow, I don't want to do this. And I walked in there just in, I couldn't imagine how I even got there. But at that point, you're willing, I heard once the desperate have no shame. And I just walked in there. I didn't have any shame. I think it was the desperate I think I've ever been. And I needed somebody to listen. And my heart needed to speak and start a healing process. So I did come out to the chaplain. And I think that he saved my life. And he just let me unveil everything over the past 4 or 5 years of my life. Under the circumstances that it was, just real quickly, he just said, hey, by the way, I'm not gay, and don't ever see me again. So there was no time to prepare. It was like death, but the person was still there. I don't know. Nobody to talk to anymore. You're in the military. You talk about then within months, it was Desert Shield. And what do you do? All of a sudden, you know, I think you're all of 19, and you think, wow, I could die. So you reflect and you go, well, I'm glad I'm loved, but I'm really pissed off that it's over, and I still don't know how to deal with anything, but I'm in a war now, so we'll just put all those emotions on side. Silly. First of all, I'm jumping out of a plane, and then somebody wants to shoot at me. Not a good idea. There was a little trepidation on that plane ride for, I think, everyone involved. We had sicknesses. We had people accidentally getting sick in their Kevlars because the jet fuel, the fumes, the refueling in midair, the long flight, the nerves, the youngness, the whole idea that, wow, we are flying to do something that we've trained for and that the government, we're just a number. And I think that hit us on that plane ride. So when we touched down, we weren't shot out of the air. We touched down, the heat hits us tremendously. We all just sort of, but there was such a mix of smells between the heat, this desertness, and I remember flies just beyond anything I could ever, worse than The Exorcist. So there was just nothing there, and just this hill. And I just thought, you're kidding. Like, huh? We ended up being shipped to this warehouse next to this airstrip. They didn't know what to do with us. We arrived, and being of the first planes deployed, there was nothing there. So what do you do? There's this old warehouse that Saudis or had been building, but it wasn't completed. There was an airstrip, and that was basically it. And so we started to build a base there out of this airstrip and, you know, warehouse. So I remember sleeping in warehouse shelving. I had shit detail. I enjoyed that because it got me out of something, and nobody wanted to do it, so you were by yourself and you could think. Though it wasn't a really great job. We had to mix all of the feces that we were creating in this place that didn't have plumbing and burn it, and you mix it with diesel fuel and you stir it and you burn it, and you just think, what am I doing? But if we didn't do that, the amount of flies and the disease that would have happened. So I'm thinking, what have I done? I didn't sign up to stir and burn shit and be in this foreign country. We have the wonderful thing called desert. And you know what lives in the desert up in Saudi Arabia, Jack?
I'd imagine scorpions.
Very good. You know what else?
Snakes.
Yeah. And you know what we had to do? We had to dig a hole around our sleeping bags. Okay? No tents. We don't have tents because we were told to burn them. All right? So I'm not quite happy about that because we're on the move. But we are sleeping in the sand and we dig a little trench around us and put diesel fuel in it. I mean, that's good for the environment, from what I hear. However, so snakes and scorpions don't come into our sleeping bag. And by the way, this is my first experience in the desert, and I thought deserts are warm, nice, you know, hot places. Do you realize how cold it gets when you are sleeping on the desert floor in, I don't know, this had to be like winter, because I think I left in August, August 17th, something very close to that. So I'm now being shipped up to Riyadh in what there's winter. And it's hot during the day, but let me tell you how cold it is at night. It almost makes two soldiers want to sleep together. Final wrap, but I said we had to burn clothes and tents and sleep in the sand, and when we come home we're giving new uniforms to change in Spain. Don these new uniforms so when you return to America you will look fresh and proud and like the American soldiers we trained you to be. And I thought, what a bunch of crap. For a year we've been not showering, you know, struggling, drawing circles around ourselves to sleep in the sand, freezing, you know, completely just left out there and not knowing what's happening. Now we come back and the cameras are on us and we're all shiny and new. I thought, oh, 1 year later from the day I returned, I was out of the military. I was really out of the military, as I knew. Well, this is enough for me. I can't. The one war ended, and I was committed to ending the other war, which was inside. And I knew that I was going to come out. I knew that I was gay. And that was it. Once I made that decision, within a year, I left the military. Or the military left me.
Thank you, Mickey Hollander, for sharing your story with us on the Cubby House Live. You can find the full interview. That was only snippets of it. The full thing went for 1 hour and 7 minutes. Also, apparently, both Mickey and I were pronouncing Saudi Arabia wrong.
It's not Saudi. You don't stab it with something. It's not a sword.
Coming up on the Cubby House Live, we have our musical guest, Eric Kuhlman, who will be sharing a thong with us. We also have the cookies story that he's prepared for us, Making Love, Not Warcraft.
And we are after your best makeup or breakup presents for any past relationships you've had.
Now, we actually have had someone SMS in anonymously, which is, we love anonymous. We don't have a problem with anonymous. Strange enough, it was probably the one I would have chosen myself. It was my best breakup gift. I walked away and left him everything. I felt completely cleansed.
That's a really nice one in a bitter irony sort of way, I suppose.
There's nothing ironic about that.
Not at all. You're on Joy 94.9. I knew that was going to happen the first time I get to back announce, and of course I fumble. It's Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Cubby House Live, and we do have some replies to our SMS topic of what's your best makeup or breakup present on 0427 Joy 949. Our first one.
We have one from, I don't know who sent it. I could read out the number, but that would be against our privacy thing.
Hello, another anonymous.
My best breakup present was peeing on the toothbrush of the man my ex was cheating with behind my back. It was the best one ever.
Ooh. Cold? Or warm, technically, but yes.
It's sterile. It's sterile gift.
Usually. Moving on to the next one. Thank you for that lovely thought, Anonymous.
This is from Richard, one of our better fans, and he wrote, I had an ex take his own gift. When I was living in the US and had made the decision to come home to care for my dad, my ex decided to steal my Superman boxer briefs, my suit pants, and my stuffed elf, thinking I would come back and get them. He slipped me his Game Boy Advance into my bag, thinking that if I didn't want my stuff, at least I would do the respectful thing and return the console. Let's just say he still has the underwear, pants, and elf, and I have the Game Boy.
Nice, nice. Thank you. And also, I believe Richard's listening in live. So we'd like to send a hello and thank you to all those who've been listening live on joy.org.au.
And if you're not currently listening to The Cubby House live, you can also catch up on our website, which is thecubbyhouse.livejournal.com. But if you're not listening right now, then that information's not very useful to you.
And in the studio today, we have a man of many, many, many talents, I so have heard. He's in to do our Listener of the Week live. Can we please introduce Mr. Eric Coleman?
Yay! All right, we've got 12 questions here for you, and you've got a limited amount of time to do it. As quickly as you can, the pressure's on. Wah!
I'll try and be very, very gentle with you.
Okay, I'm ready. I think.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, let's go. Your name?
Eric.
Your age?
35.
Are you available or taken?
Depends what you want.
Good answer. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
The power to fly without getting on an airplane.
What would your ideal form of employment be?
As some crazy person that writes the messages on the back of Adelaide bus tickets.
Again, good answer. Weirdest place you've ever had sex?
Probably, well, it's not that weird, but the fire escape of a car park.
What's your favourite item of clothing?
Footy shorts.
Who'd you most like to have sex with?
Matthew Primus.
Would you date yourself?
No.
Why?
I'm too high maintenance.
At least he's honest. Sexually, what melts your butter?
Stinky armpits.
That explains armpit stench. We'll be hearing a bit more about that later in the program. What couldn't you live without?
Coffee.
Again, the best answer ever. Okay, organization or chaos?
Organized chaos.
How do you get involved with the bear community?
Years ago, I went to a Bears Canberra event and it had a great time and have been involved with bears ever since.
Do you think it's changed since you've joined?
It's definitely got a lot bigger and maybe a little bit more mainstream.
Where do you see it's going? I mean, mainstream?
It just seems to be growing and growing and becoming more and more diverse, which I think is good.
Describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
I don't actually remember the first time because it all blows into one after you've been to a few gay bars for a few years. It's kind of like they all seem to blend into one.
Time up. What are your hobbies?
Music, I guess.
And have you met many people through these hobbies?
Yes.
Yay, we're done! Woo-hoo! Thank you, Eric Coleman, our listener of the week, and our musical guest of the week. So you're getting double the attention this time. You're very lucky.
I like getting attention.
And so, you like being lucky.
I like getting lucky.
We should be so lucky.
Indeed. This is The Cubby House Live. You are with Kevin, Cookie and Jack. And we're going into our next track, which I've caught up with Rusty and David, who've two guys that have met online through the game World of Warcraft, which for those who have listened to the podcast, we have talked about on nameless occasions. Their story is quite interesting, and I must apologize for the quality. We were recording on Skype, and here is what we would like to call
Big Love, Not Warcraft.
Hi, my name is Rusty. I'm from Houston, Texas.
And I'm David, and I'm from Hobart, Tasmania.
How did you two guys meet?
We met in World of Warcraft, which is an online multiplayer role-playing game, essentially. And it started off first when I was in a high-end raiding guild that was, like, number one on the server. And I had a lot of toons leveling up to 60 at the time. And I realized that it was really stressful to be doing this hardcore raiding stuff. I just kind of wanted to lead, like, a small group of friendly-type people. And I really was more into bears and cubs and chasers and wolves and all the other nomenclature you can think of. And I just decided to go ahead and create a bear guild, or a bear-friendly guild. And I went on gamer.org and livejournal.com. And that's where I met my little cubby David.
Yeah, well, back in early 2006, there was a big news story because in the Game World of Warcraft, some people had formed a gay guild, and Blizzard, which are the software producer of World of Warcraft, had banned the gay guild, and it caused such an outrage that Blizzard had to retract that and apologise. And so there was a lot of publicity about gay and lesbian online gaming, and of course, at the time I was playing World of Warcraft, but I was in essentially just a straight guild, and I decided to go looking for a gay guild that I could join and sort of hang out with gay people online. So I was looking on livejournal.com, and I noticed Rusty's ad for a bear guild on Aggramar. So I got in touch with him and joined, and that's how we met.
Yes. I was so handsome, wasn't I, David?
Yes. Still are, definitely.
And that started
about mid-February 2006.
And David would have to get up really, really early in the morning to do raids with me in Molten Core and Blackwing Lair, because he played a healing druid, and nobody at the time wanted to play healing druids. They all wanted to be bears for some reason. Go figure. But he would get up at, what, 4 a.m.?
Yeah, 4 or 5 a.m. for a 6 a.m. start.
Yeah. I was talking to David, and I was going through a whole lot of tough things in my life, family issues and whatnot, and I was kind of kicked out, and David and I would just confide in David about what's going on in my life, and he wasn't scared off by it. He stood around, he stayed around, I should say. He listened to me whine, helped me out with a lot of things, actually, giving me advice, helping me out even a little bit financially, and just being a very good friend. And I was like, this guy is really, really cute and really, really sweet. And those are two things I really, really like. And for me, I've always been attracted to shorter, smaller guys. And I love nice, friendly people. And David's the sweetest guy I know. And he's one of the cutest.
How did you actually meet face-to-face?
David offered to fly me down here because he was just really horny for a hot, big Texas top bear. And I was like, well, that sounds awesome. So it took a bit of time at first because I had to get my passport and stuff situated. And he decided to fly me down later that year, December 31st to be exact. And it was a bit of a small fiasco because the plane landed in Hawaii and was going to take off the next day to come to Sydney. And there was an explosion or a fire in the plane, and they had to like basically ground it for a day and a half. And I think that caused a bit of worry for David.
Yes. But you got here eventually.
I did. And at first, I was a bit unimpressed with Tasmania because I just left a really hot climate. Apparently that day, the 31st, it was unbelievably muggy and hot that day. I was thinking, oh god, I was hoping this would be so close to Antarctica, I wouldn't have to feel all the hot mugginess of Houston. But like the next day, it cooled off really, really quickly, and apparently that's how Tasmanian weather is. It gets really cold or really warm if you just wait a couple of days. And we met, and we liked each other, and we got a bit more serious.
Yes, you came over for a month, and then about 6 months later, you came over for 3 months.
And then I came back over my summer, because I hate the hot, muggy Houston summers, and I was really missing David. And he was just such a wonderful human being that I really, really thought that he would be someone that I could possibly get really, really serious with. And we decided to see each other again for an extended visit this time, just to see how things go, see if the magic was still there, see if the chemistry was still there. And it's funny, because David bought me the Burning Crusade Special Edition game for me when I got back home for Valentine's Day, which I thought was kind of cute, because we had already purchased Burning Crusade for our regular accounts, but he went ahead and got me the extended edition. And by the end of that year, I realized that I wanted to move in with Dave and live down here. He was just really too amazing to pass up. It was hard for me because essentially that's what, moving 9,000 miles, and I ended up missing people tremendously because of the move, but I think it's more than worth it. We moved down, this is funny, the Bear Guild was having its dramas, and as I was in transit to move and get all my stuff over here, the Bear Guild that I was running decided to break apart. But after that, I decided that I'd rather take my chances with a larger gay guild, and we decided to join the Taint Guilds, and that's been an interesting experience.
And it's the largest gay guild.
And it was enjoyable for me because we were able to do content with gay people. Of course, you have your mean people in there, too. I mean, you got that in any type of gaming, social gaming situation. And we stopped raiding just because, and this is the funny thing, I used to work very briefly at Blizzard, and by work I just mean I game tested a lot. I was dating one of the producers at the time, and it's interesting that someone that I had met and went to at Blizzard essentially, you know, left that particular company because he thought the PC gaming market would completely fall apart and the consoles gaming market would dominate the gaming world. I think it's one of those bitter ironies that, you know, he was such a jerk and so rude to me, and, you know, he worked on this game essentially, then left because he said it was going to be a flop, and I met my current partner in the exact same game. It's been very successful.
Now, do you guys still play the game together?
I don't play as much as I used to because I'm working right now, and believe it or not, you do get burnout because I've been playing this game off and on for about 8 years, essentially. But I still play it. We still love each other very much, and we're celebrating our 5th anniversary this weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What would you like to say to people who say Warcraft is a bad influence?
As with anything that you have a hobby in or an interest in, if you do it obsessively, of course it's going to be bad for you. You have to do it in moderation. Getting burnout is kind of a good thing sometimes because you can basically put something down and walk away from it, and at some point in the future you can go back to it. I typically do that 5-6 times a year with Warcraft. I'll play it pretty intensively for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks and do some raiding. Then I'll get really burnt out really quickly and just take a break from it and start back up after a month or so.
I think, like any online social activity, it's one of those things that has benefits and disbenefits, I guess. I think it can engender a sense of community. It's, you know, you can achieve goals, but also, like anything online, it's a bit like a city. It's got clean, respectable places, and it's got places that are a bit dodgy. But I think, in moderation, it's fine. I don't think it's a problem with the game.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was so sweet. That was Cookie's story, Making Love and Warcraft, on our Making Love and War episode of the Cubby House Live on Joy 94.9. And to my left-hand side, we have Eric Kuhlman. Welcome back.
That's actually your right-hand side, Jack.
He's a ranger. We don't expect much from him.
No, thank you.
Yeah. There go all my aspirations of being a navigation officer. So I can't tell left from right. So, how long have you been playing music for?
Probably over 20 years, since I was a kid.
This isn't the fast round. You can actually elaborate on your answers. So, I understand that you're part of a band called Armpit Stench. What sort of music do they play?
I guess it's kind of, we like to call it bear punk, because it's sort of punk music, but, you know, we sort of, all the songs tend to be about bears, and bears having sex, and sexy bears, and just put bears and sex into a sentence, and that's probably one of our songs.
So what are some of your song titles?
Daddy Bear, Ambulance Bear, Lazy Bear, Ugly Bear, China Bear. There's sort of a bit of a pattern.
I'm starting to see a bit of a theme here.
Wait. You've got songs about bears? Oh, my God. So, you've actually, you've got your guitar in the studio with us, and you're going to play a song for us for our episode of Making Love and War. So, what is this song about?
It's about
sex and bears. And
it's about love, because you can't have love without sex and bears, I tend to think.
It's called I Love You by Eric Kuhlman.
I love you like I love stout. I love you like I love hash. I love you like I love vodka. And it's you that I wanna pash. I love you like I love beer. I love you like I love sex. I love you like I love cheese, and you've got sexy sweat. I love you like I love dogs. I love you like I love pills. I love you like I love dope. and you cure all my ills. I love you, God, how I love you. I want you, fuck mate, I want you. But you're 1,000 k's away, so I can't be with you every day the way I'd like to. Because I love you, yeah, I love you. Yo, 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 and only you. I love you like I love ice cream. I love you like I love meat. I love you like I love duck. And it's you that I wanna eat. I love you like I love E. I love you like I love speed. I love you like I love cones. But it's you that I need. I love you like I love song. I love you like I love sunshine. I love you like I love flowers, and I'm so glad that you're all mine, mine. I love you, God knows I love you. I want you, fuck mate, I want you. But you're 1,000 k's away, so I can't be with you every day the way I'd like to. Because I love you, yeah, yeah, I love you. Yo, yo, and only yo, forever yo.
Woo! So it's the I Love You song. You played it during Southern Hibernation 2010. Or 2009.
Yeah.
Oh, how the years go by. Who was the song actually written for?
A very lovely man called Stumpy Dalton, who happens to be my boyfriend.
Oh. So do you have any shows coming up?
Playing Melbourne this Thursday in Northcote. And then that's solo. And then my band's playing in Sydney on Saturday night at the Oxford Hotel. And then I've got another solo show in Newcastle on Wednesday week.
So where can they find more information if they wanted to?
I guess they should just Google my name, and I think my Facebook and MySpace sites will come up.
All that information will be available on the Cubby House website, www.thecubbyhouse.livejournal.com. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thanks very much. It's been fun.
This is our Making Love and War episode on the Cubby House Live. Kevin, we've received some SMSs on our SMS line.
Boy, have we received some SMSs. I'm going to cut this down a little bit. And this is actually quite a fantastic one. I can't believe Skype did this. So okay,
what is our topic again?
The best breakup or makeup present that you've ever received. So, we broke up after his ex accused me of turning his kids gay. She was utterly relentless. So for privacy, I bought two tickets to Paris. And after we landed, we had dinner at the Eiffel Tower, and we called it quits. I had to do something magical to counteract the horrible situation we were in. Now, it's a great story to tell and easier to tell. And that was from Barbie Bear. Barbie Bear, can I get together with you and break up so you can fly me to Paris?
Thank you very much, Barbie Bear. Was there another one on the line while we're at it? No? No? Well, you are listening to the Cubby House live on Joy 94.9 with Cookie, Kevin and Jack.
And please don't forget to like our Facebook page. We like it, you like it, everyone likes it.
It's great to be here, Cookie, and it's 5 minutes to the hour. It's almost time for the Eurovision show.
It is, with Alan. You've been mixing it up quite a bit the last couple of weeks, and we've actually quite enjoyed it because we kind of leave the studio when all this wonderful poppy music's playing. We love it. So that's in 5 minutes here on Joy 94.9, but we are the Cubby House project. We've got our blog, which is at cubbyhouse.livejournal.com. We are also doing occasional podcasts, as well as this show, which we podcast every week on that blog and through our feed. Now, iTunes, for those who have been asking, we are still trying to find out what happened to our feed, so it can be on the iTunes store. But until then, go to our website, which is thecubbyhouse.livejournal.com, and there is information and a process to follow to add it manually to your iTunes feed.
So all that information is available on your website and to Apple. We're not happy, Jan. Not happy at all.
No.
Hopefully, getting this over the airwaves of Melbourne will motivate you to getting this through.
You can always email them and say, hey, where's this feed? We have been asking. But that's another story. For tonight, we would also like to thank all our guests. Eric Coleman, part of Armpit Stench. You can find more on our live journal blog very shortly, as to where you can get tickets for all his upcoming shows. And also to Mickey, Rusty and Dave, who are all happy participants in the interviews this week.
But what have we got coming up next week? I am excited about next week.
So you should be, you little cub.
Oh, well, what can I say? Jack, what is our topic?
Our topic for next week is, what's the deal with daddies?
Woohoo!
So next week we're going to be playing all of our favourite daddy music. I'm thinking George Michael, Father Figure, Madonna, Papa Don't Preach.
Bad Father?
The Bad Father.
Oh, Bad Father. My favourite Bad Father.
Because you know what? All the hot cubs go for daddies. Why? Why?
Let's move on.
Some cubs are a little too childish, that's why. Like you. We are going to be looking into that, and we shall be putting everybody who's going to be on that show again on our blog. We've also got a Facebook page for people who'd like to catch up with some of the opinions and interviews that have been had on the show. Where can they find that one, Kevin?
You can actually just jump on Facebook and search The Cubby House Project. Please, we love your feedback. We all love your feedback. We'd like to hear your feedback, read it, let it caress our ears and our eyes. Please, give us your feedback.
Unless it's negative feedback.
Hey, I like negative feedback too.
Didn't your mama tell you, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all?
Actually, my mother said, if you've got nothing nice to say, shut the fuck up.
I think I'd like your mum.
Now, I do have to do one special shout out to one very special cub in Sydney who has asked me to do something. And all I can say
I'm is glaring at you right now, Cookie. I know. I'm glaring at you.
And he wanted me to call you Kev. I'm not going to do it. Sorry.
Kevy!
Oh my God, Jack, you die.
What? Squeak!
There has been, if you want to find out what's been happening, go look up Kevin's Facebook and you'll understand where all this is coming from. But until then, let us say, this is Cookie.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Kevin.
Kevy.
Kevin.
This has been stories of making love and war, all on the Cubby House Live. You're on Joy 94.9, and in a few moments, you'll be joined by Alan for the Eurovision. Thank you very much for listening, and catch us next week. We'll be right back.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.